भगवते मो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड ऋषभ देव्स अपीयरेंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 10 We'll read the word-to-word translation. Atha, O most worshipable of all, you are the best of all benefactors, and your appearance at saintly King Nabhi's sacrificial arena is meant for our benediction. Because you have been seen by us, you have bestowed upon us the most valuable benediction. Purport. Nija Purusha Ikshana Vishaya. In Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Krishna says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal to everyone. In that sense, he has no enemies and no friends. Everyone is enjoying the fruitive reactions of his own work, and the Lord within everyone's heart is observing and giving everyone the desired result. However, just as the devotees are always anxious to see the Supreme Lord satisfied in every way, similarly the Supreme Lord is very anxious to present himself before his devotees. Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. Thus Krishna's appearance is for the deliverance and satisfaction of his devotees. Actually, he does not advent himself simply to kill the demons, for that can be done by his agents. Lord Vishnu's appearance at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabhi was just to please the king and his assistants. Otherwise, there was no reason for his being present there. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutah Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. We have been reading for past couple of days about this yajna performed by Maharaj Nabhi, in which he was desiring to have a child like the Supreme Lord. And the priests who are performing this yajna, they are addressing to the Supreme Lord that we feel ourselves very much incapacitated, unqualified and inadequate standing in front of you, because we know that all these paraphernalia which we have used in the sacrifice doesn't have any value to you unless it is offered with love and devotion. So in the series of verses, these priests, they are emphasizing on the point of love and devotion, which is the only ingredient which the Lord is hungry for. And we have that famous verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Uparitam Ashnami Prayatatmanah. Krishna in this verse, two times he emphasizes on this word bhakti. And Rupa Goswami, in one of the purports in these verses, he gives a very brilliant example that just like a person who might be offered with very valuable and opulent food stuff, but if he doesn't have any appetite, then what is the use of all those foodstuffs and offerings which are offered to him? So this bhakti is that appetizer by which the Supreme Lord, he can accept any offerings. If this appetizer is not there, then all those offerings, even if they are significant or insignificant, doesn't have any significance to the Supreme Lord. So Krishna emphasizes two times in that verse, two times he emphasizes on this appetizer, that first offer this appetizer, then only I can have any appetite to accept one's patra, pushpa, phala or toyam, water. Srila Jiva Goswami, commenting on this particular verse, patram pushpam phalam toyam, he says, it appears as if the Lord has become so much overwhelmed by this word bhakti that he is not able to discriminate. He is saying, Ashnami, I eat everything. And Jiva Goswami says that as far as patra, as far as phala, or as far as water is concerned, yes, it has to be eaten. But pushpa, flower is supposed to be smelt. Flowers are not supposed to be eaten. But Krishna has become so overwhelmed with the love and devotion of his devotee that he is not able to discriminate between what is supposed to be smelt and what is supposed to be eaten. So he says, everything I eat, including the flower, including the pushpa. One time here in Juhu, during the struggle which was going on, Srila Prabhupada was here, and every day there were like intense meetings with the big donors, with the sannyasis and the managers who were involved in that project of Sri Radha Ras Vihari Mandir. So one time it so happened Srila Prabhupada was having a meeting with all big personalities involved in that project. So there were these life members, all of them were sitting. And because it was a construction site, so the meeting was held just under a shed. It was just a kind of shack, temporary establishment. And the meeting was held over there, and all around that place, the construction was going on. And Prabhupada was discussing very important matters with many of the sannyasis and other donors. And as the meeting was going on, one ordinary construction laborer was doing his construction work outside. He entered into that meeting place. And he just had one thin cloth over his waist. All his body was smeared with all the dirt and the construction material. He was sweating. So as he's entering, everyone is looking upon him as if what is he supposed to do over here? He is supposed to just do his construction job outside. There is an important meeting going on. Why is he coming inside? So as he entered inside that shed, whatever talks was going on, there was absolute silence. And everyone was just looking at him as what he's up to. He came right up to Srila Prabhupada and he took out some flowers and he placed in front of Srila Prabhupada and then left. And everyone was so moved by this gesture of this ordinary construction worker. Srila Prabhupada, after that silence, Prabhupada said, "Just see, this little offering done by this insignificant person has moved everyone of ours heart." And then he quoted this verse, "Patram pushpam phalam toyam." And then Prabhupada said, if we ordinary insignificant jivatmas can be so moved by this little offering of love, how much Krishna is moved when he is so fine in his sentiments and emotions? How much Krishna is moved when somebody offers him a fruit, a flower, with love and devotion? So we see that this is the most important ingredient emphasized in practically every section of our revealed scriptures. The ingredient of love and devotion. And we see in the sacred pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord appearing in front of many of his exalted and stalwart devotees. The Supreme Lord appeared in front of Narad Muni, appeared in front of Dhruva Maharaj, appeared in so many different sacrifices which were initiated by his loving devotees. And we always find that he was pleased when they offered everything with love and devotion. And then only he appeared in front of them. In the fourth canto, there is this episode of Daksha Yagya. And this particular Yagya was not any ordinary one. In fact, we know that how this Daksha Yagya, which initially turned into a kind of fratricidal war, was a brutal massacre of so many personalities. Lord Shiva's followers having a brutal war with Daksha's followers. And during the end of this Yagya, when Daksha realizes his mistake, and then he again performs another sacrifice to appease Lord Shiva and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Supreme Lord appears towards the end of that Yagya in his eight-handed form with all his grandeur and majesty. He appears in front of all these stalwart personalities. That particular Yagya, if we read the kind of personalities who were attending that Yagya, it was a kind of inter-universal gathering. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra, Varun, Agni, the different Yogeshwaras, Siddhas, Charanas, Lokapalas, all of these personalities were there when the Supreme Lord appeared. And it is explained by Shukadeva Goswami that though these personalities were so exalted, but when the Supreme Lord appeared, there were certain symptoms seen in all these exalted personalities. First of all, their luster faded away. Whatever effulgence they were emitting, whatever luster they had, all that luster faded away. And whatever mantras they were chanting, and whatever discussions they were having, it is explained that they had their tongues which became silent. They had silent tongues then when the Supreme Lord appeared. And with their hands spontaneously going above their heads, they started to pay their obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. And they were so much awed that they started offering spontaneous prayers of glorification for the Supreme Lord. And with so much of care and attention, they started offering different oblations and food offerings to the Supreme Lord. So over there in the purport, Prabhupada writes that when the Supreme Lord appears in His majestic form, who is known as Yajna Bhuk, then all these exalted personalities, their luster goes away in front of Him, and with all veneration they just pay their obeisances and offer prayers unto the Supreme Lord, glorifying His majesty, glorifying His opulence. And in the same fourth canto, we read when Maharaj Prithu, when he initiated a great sacrifice similar of this kind, he made it very clear to whoever was present in that sacrifice that don't think that the Supreme Lord will be pleased by all these ingredients which we are trying to offer to Him. In fact, in a verse he says that the Supreme Lord doesn't derive so much pleasure in receiving all these oblations and articles offered by us or by any of the exalted personalities like us assembled over here than when He derives pleasure when offerings are made unto His devotees. And He receives all the offerings through the mouth of His devotees. That is the most pleasing offering to the Supreme Lord, when His devotees are offered with love and devotion some offerings. When His devotees are glorified and when His devotees are worshipped, that is the most pleasing offering which the Supreme Lord, He accepts. And we read in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that when the Supreme Lord was performing His loving pastimes as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, how He was accepting the loving offerings by the hands of His cowherd boyfriends and His parents, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And in fact, He was receiving more pleasure, He was deriving more pleasure when He was offering all those things to His dear devotees. And this has been exemplified in the famous Brahma Vimohan Leela, in which we find that even Lord Brahma and other demigods were bewildered when they saw that this Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Yajna Bhuk, who is Yajneshwar, is eating out the remnants of His, you know, friends, these cowherd boys. And He's even offering whatever He has eaten and accepting whatever they have eaten. So this is not what we generally see Yajneshwar or Yajna Bhuk doing. So it is explained in the 10th canto when Krishna killed Aghasur. All the cowherd boys, they were so happy. Of course, any time Krishna would kill any demon, they would always rejoice. But specifically, when Aghasur was killed, not only the cowherd boys were so happy because they were revived back, they were practically dead. All the demigods who were so much in fear of Aghasur, as the battle was going on between Lord Krishna and Aghasur, the demigods, they were peeping through the clouds. Because they felt if Krishna is not able to defeat Aghasur, and if Aghasur looks at us, that, you know, you are rejoicing at, you know, my defeat, so I'll show you afterwards. So they were so much in fear, just peeping through the clouds. But when Krishna killed Aghasur, all of these demigods, they became so happy and jubilant that immediately they descended down. They didn't. Other times they would, you know, just shower some flowers. But this time, all of them, they descended down, Lord Brahma and other exalted demigods, and they started dancing. And various personalities, Gandharvas and Charanas and Siddhas, they were playing musical instruments and they were dancing and singing the glories of Krishna. And it so happened that when Lord Shiva came to know that Krishna has killed Aghasur, he became like a madman. And he just took a leap and he jumped and appeared in front of all these demigods who were already dancing and rejoicing. So sometimes we see that if a very great dancer comes in between the dancing of other devotees, and you know, he gets more space to dance. So when Lord Shiva jumped in the kirtan, then everyone, they were, you know, just giving all the room for Lord Shiva to dance. And Lord Shiva was dancing with so much of ecstasy, he is known as Nataraj, that he cracked the pot of universe, it is said. And the kind of dancing he was doing, rocking back and forth, the crescent moon on his jata was also rocking back and forth, as he was rocking back and forth, singing the glories of Aghanishudan, Krishna. So as this crescent moon on the jata of Lord Shiva was rocking back and forth, the droplets of nectar which this crescent moon carries started to spill out, as this crescent moon was also rocking. And Lord Shiva, he is famous for wearing a garland of dead skulls. Skull is already dead. So, you know, skulls of various human beings or ghosts or other people. So he's famous for wearing a garland of skulls. So when these droplets of nectar fell on the skulls which Lord Shiva was wearing, what happened? They came back to life. So now it was a garland of all these people dancing with Lord Shiva, coming back to life because of the touch of the nectar from the crescent moon on the jata of Lord Shiva. They were dancing in ecstasy, singing the glories of Lord Krishna who killed Aghasura. So like that, the celebration was going on, and all these demigods, they had assembled, glorifying Lord Krishna. So all the cowherd boys, they then started talking to Krishna. They asked Krishna that, how was it possible that this all-devouring serpent who had devoured all of us, including you, Krishna, and his poison was so strong and it was so powerful, how could you come out and kill and even revive us back? So Krishna started speaking to all these cowherd boys, said that, I am the most powerful antidote for any poison of this world. So I am the antidote for any poison, and I become the poison for the poison giver. So simultaneously, I am the antidote as well as the poison. And all the cowherd boys, they started laughing at this. And they said, whatever you might say about your antidote qualities or poison giving qualities, we know that because you have a good track record up until now of killing so many demons, so we have some faith now. We have started developing some faith in you, that you could do that. Though we were in a position we could not see how you did that, but we know that you have good track record of killing these big demons, so therefore you could do that. So like that, they were laughing and joking. And when Lord Brahma heard these statements by the cowherd boys, that, you know, this is what they are saying, and we are here celebrating, you know, the majestic feature of Krishna who killed this big demon, Aghasura. So the bewilderment of Lord Brahma started from that point on, when he heard these cowherd boys just laughing and joking on Krishna's killing of Aghasura. And then it is explained that Krishna took all the cowherd boys to a very, very beautiful and ideal place wherein Krishna was planning to enjoy a nice picnic. So Krishna, he told to all the cowherd boys, look at this beautiful and quiet, serene place near the banks of Jamuna. It is so comfortable with its green grass as it is the lap of Mother Yashoda. It is as comfortable as the lap of Mother Yashoda. So we should all sit over here, let these cows and calves graze nearby, and we should enjoy a nice picnic over here. And it is explained that wherever Krishna and his cowherd boys would go, the entire beauty of Vrindavan would rush to that spot and would decorate that place with its full bloom. So the entire beauty of Vrindavan rushed to this spot now, where Krishna was about to enjoy his picnic. And it is explained that the tall green trees, they made a circle of a natural canopy over this picnic spot. And the pure and pristine white sand of Jamuna appeared as if someone had sprayed powdered camphor on the banks of Jamuna. It appeared that the earth was washed with liquid silver. These are the descriptions given. And Krishna, as he was seated, he appeared like a whirl of a lotus. And all these cowherd boys surrounding Krishna, they appeared like the thousand petals of this beautiful blue lotus flower. And the breeze, the gentle breeze which was blowing, it carried the aroma of the lotus flowers from River Jamuna. So in this particular yajna arena now, because Krishna is addressed by the demigod as Yajna Bhuk, and they are getting bewildered, specifically Lord Brahma is getting bewildered, when now Krishna is going to share his lunch and his tiffin with others and others' tiffins with himself. So Lord Brahma, who is addressing Lord Krishna as Yajna Bhuk, is getting more and more bewildered. So then Krishna ordered that all of you open your tiffins and now we should start our picnic. So everyone, they opened their tiffins. And in this particular yajna, the offerings which were made to Krishna were not on some very special opulent plates and with mantras and all that. But they just took some flowers as plates. Some boys, they took some leaves which were just thrown around. Some of them, they just used some rocks as plates. Some used the tree barks as plates. Some just used their palms. And some used their chadars as plates. And this was all offered to Krishna also. So here was Lord Brahma witnessing all this. And it is explained that as Lord Krishna was enjoying all these simple offerings brought by all the cowherd boys, he was eating out and he was offering it to others, and others were eating out and they were offering to Krishna. So the scene was so beautiful, but Lord Brahma was getting bewildered. And in a beautiful verse, Shukadeva Goswami explains that how did this Yajna Bhuk, this Yajneshwar, appeared in this yajna arena amidst all the cowherd boys, receiving the offerings done by all the cowherd boys, that he was having his beautiful cowherd dress, the tight belt over his waist, and the flute which was tucked on his right side, and the vetra, the cow driving stick, and the bugle, and the buffalo horn on his left side. And Krishna was seated just on bare ground. There was no proper seat of honor for this Yajneshwar, for this Yajna Bhuk. He was just seated on the bare ground of Vrindavan. And on his left palm, he was holding a lump of yogurt rice. And in between his fingers, there was a pickle of amla and lemon, which he was using by his right hand, mixing it and eating that yogurt rice mixed with that pickle. And as he was doing that, he was laughing and joking with all the other cowherd boys. And one time it so happened that a bumblebee came, and this bumblebee was trying to also relish the maha maha of the Lord. So Lord Krishna is telling to this bumblebee that your name is Madhu, and there is another Madhu we have over here sitting, Madhu Mangal. Go and eat from his plate. So this bumblebee goes to Madhu Mangal, and then Madhu Mangal again tells to this bumblebee that you are black and this Krishna is black, so you should associate with black people. Go back to this Krishna and eat out from his plate. So like that, Krishna was laughing and joking. So we see that in these various sacrifices, specifically this Daksha Yajna which we talked about, wherein all the offerings were done with so much of care and attention. But over here, the offerings which were done to Krishna, totally it were a kind of offering which was going against the rules of any sacrificial yajna. First of all, anybody ordinarily, if he wants to eat something, he will first, you know, sit in a way wherein he is not disturbed by other things on his body. Like, nobody sits and eats with, you know, a belt tied around and, you know, flute tucked inside that belt. I remember during the school days, we would come home for lunch and we would be having the belt and the tie on. And always the mother would tell that, remove the belt and the tie before you start eating. But over here we see Lord Krishna, he is not following that simple etiquette also. He just sitting with all those things, you know, the cow driving stick, the bugle, the horn, the flute, the tight belt, all around him. And just comfortably eating out. And then, according to Niti Shastra, that when somebody is eating, then one has to be really very serious while eating. It is said that if somebody follows this particular regulation of not talking while eating for 12 years, he can reach the heavenly abode just by following this one regulation. Of course, devotees, they don't want to go to heavenly planet. They want to go to the spiritual world. So over here, this regulation also, Krishna was not following. What he was doing? Hasayanti, it is said. He was laughing and joking while he was eating. So with one hand he was eating and with his mouth he was just laughing and joking. And then it is said that for Yageshwar, for Yajna Bhuk, a very special seat of honor is given so that he can sit on that and others can make offerings. But over here, Krishna was seated amidst all the cowherd boys. And he didn't have any special seat of honor. He was just sitting on an equal level with everyone. And then he was eating out with his left hand. Now according to the etiquette of eating, you know, we are not supposed to use our left hand. Of course for Krishna everything is transcendental and all pure and divine. But still he was eating out from his left hand. So all these things, they were quite bewildering to Lord Brahma, who had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Yajna Bhuk, always accepting the offerings and oblations in all these other sacrifices with a seat of honor, with proper etiquette and so much of care and attention taken care by those who are making the offerings. But over here, there is another version that when Madhu Mangal, he went to one corner of this particular arena and he started drinking some buttermilk which he had brought. So when Lord Krishna, he saw from the corner of his eyes that what is he doing, trying to enjoy himself all that buttermilk. So immediately Krishna got up and started running towards Madhu Mangal. And by that time he had already gulped in good amount of that buttermilk. And when Lord Krishna found that it's still in the mouth, it has not gone in his belly. So Lord Krishna just punched with his two palms on his cheeks and all that buttermilk splashed out and Krishna accepted that offering also. So over here we can see that the same Yajna Bhuk, the same Yageshwar is accepting these offerings offered by his cowherd boyfriends because it was imbued, suffused with so much of that appetizer. Love and devotion. So therefore we always read in the scriptures and also from the mouths of great exalted personalities that this yajna of Kali Yuga, this Sankirtan yajna, also requires that bhava. Unless that bhava is not there, unless that love and devotion is not there, even in this yajna, we cannot offer anything to the Supreme Lord. And that famous verse from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Murkho vadati Vishnaya, dhiro vadati Vishnave, ubhayastu samam punyam, bhava grahi Janardana. That the Lord doesn't care whether you pronounce His holy names properly or improperly. Whether you are very articulate in pronouncing His holy name, the Lord doesn't care for all that. What He only cares is your bhava, our love and devotion. That is the only thing which the Lord cares for. Recently I was told one story from the pastimes of Lord Guruvayur. That Lord Guruvayur in south of India, we have this beautiful deity of Lord Guruvayur. It so happened that the pujaris and the brahmanas over there, they were engaged in chanting Vishnu Sahasranam, glorifying the Supreme Lord every day with His thousand names. So there was a very simple, ordinary devotee of Guruvayur who didn't know much about Sanskrit language, who didn't know much about any scriptures also. So one time he came into the temple of Guruvayur and he started chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. And when he came to a certain shloka of this particular thousand names of the Supreme Lord, he was not chanting it so very articulately and correctly according to the proper Sanskrit grammar. So that line was, Aprameyo Rishikesha Padmanabha Amara Prabhu. And this particular devotee, when he started chanting that line, he said, Aprameya Rishikesha Padmanabha Mara Prabhu. Instead of chanting Amara Prabhu, he was chanting Mara Prabhu. So this line meant, Aprameya, the Supreme Lord who is beyond all the Prameyas and all the Vedic speculations, who is Rishikesha, the Lord and Master of all everyone's senses, who is Padmanabha, He is the Lord and Master of the Amaras. He is the Lord and Master of the Immortals. But this devotee, he was chanting Mara Prabhu, that He is the Lord and Master of the mortals. And when the Brahmanas and the other priests, when they heard him chanting like that, immediately they started chastising him. You are killing the verse of Vishnu Sahasranam. How can you call the Lord as Mara Prabhu? He is Amara Prabhu. So he became very much frightened. So they took him and they threw him out of the temple. That you are not allowed to come inside the temple because of this offense which you have committed today. And then the Lord Guruvayur started speaking to all these priests. And he asked that if I am not the Lord of the mortals, then who is the Lord of the mortals? Are you? Are you all the Lord of the mortals over here in this world? In fact, I am the Lord of both the mortals as well as immortals. So whatever he is chanting correctly. In fact, I order now that from this day on, in this temple, whoever chants Vishnu Sahasranam, that particular line, you have to chant Mara Prabhu, not Amara Prabhu. So till now, that temple, they chant Aprameya Rishikesha Padmanabha Mara Prabhu. And some of them, because they are used to chant the correct way, now this is the correct way according to the Lord. So they have to make a pause and then deliberately say Mara Prabhu. And now if somebody chants Amara Prabhu, then he is chastised. That the regulation over here is to chant Mara Prabhu. So we see how the Supreme Lord, He was only concerned about the love and devotion which was offered. And we see that as far as the articles and other ingredients are concerned, what can we offer to the Supreme Lord? As we were hearing couple of days ago, that what articles can please the Supreme Lord of this world? Everything of this world is dead matter. What can we offer? It is only this love, if we can develop the purity of the heart, if we have, can please the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada was in one Kumbh Mela in the late 70s, and Srila Prabhupada had a tent where they had the deities of Shri Shri Radha Madhav, and all the devotees, every day they would come and they would perform Mangal Aarti and other offerings to the deity. So one time it so happened that one night it started raining, and all the water, because the tent was not so safeguarded for rains, so rain water started entering inside on the deities and all the paraphernalia. So the deities were shifted to another place, the corner of the tent, where there was a tin shed. And the next morning, when all the devotees came for Mangal Aarti, Srila Prabhupada was there, all the other devotees, they were waiting for the conch to blow and the aarti to start. So the pujari, he noticed that the matchbox was fully drenched with all that rain water. It becomes very difficult to light that match if it is drenched with all that rain water. So he tried. The aarti was supposed to start. He tried once, twice, thrice. And then it so happened that whatever that one matchbox he had, that also fell on the ground and, you know, got mixed with all the muddy water. And then he just looked at the devotees that, you know, what can I do now? Only had this one matchbox. And Srila Prabhupada, he then said, anyways, this is not the age of deity worship. Chant Hare Krishna. And then he called that pujari, you also join us, we'll just chant Hare Krishna. So we see that as far as offering some ingredients of this world to the Supreme Lord, what can we offer? All the offerings are so much faulty in its inherent nature. So therefore, this one thing over here which the priests are also emphasizing, that what all these ingredients can appease you? It's only the love, if it is offered, which can please you. And that is the only ingredient which you will be satisfied with. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, comments? Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.